This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
It's 11:05 in St. Louis. It is the Hollywood Casino Press Box on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. Brian Hoffman, Jim Huer, Darren Atkins here inside our Kirkwood studios. Frank Cusimano down at the Enterprise Center today. He hopes to rejoin the show about 11:30, 11:35-ish or so, depending on what his pregame duties are for Blues and Bruins. Game 4 tonight. The Blues hoping to knot the series up at 2 games apiece. Last segment we discussed kind of what went wrong. Jim, I'm curious, for Game 3, was there anything that you liked that you saw? I know that it was a 7-2 loss that you were never really in. But was there anything that stuck out as, okay, just build on that and maybe see where things go?
Well, it's not necessarily what you build on, but I liked the start of the hockey team early on. They came at Boston early. Tuukka Rask had to make multiple big saves, otherwise the Blues would have gotten an early lead on Boston. That was the most positive thing I took from the hockey game. Unfortunately, everything after that, once Bergeron scored the power play goal midway through the first, it all snowballed out of control at that point. Then Charlie Coyle gets a late goal in the first period, and then it was all over after that, because then Boston scored in the first minute of the next period, and 3-0 before you blink, and that's done and over with. There was nothing that stood out to me late in the contest. It was all early on. Blues came out with the jump they need. They're going to have to need that same jump tonight, but here's the difference. You have to capitalize and score on one of your chances. If the Blues score early on that Saturday night, things are different. They really are. I mean, yes, the Blues got dominated late and it snowballed out of control, but if the Blues score early and that changes the way things are played. That changes the way the momentum's going in the hockey game. And I think the Blues need to do that tonight. Avoid giving up an early goal. If Boston scores early, it's going to get quiet in that building, and you're going to need something to jumpstart things. But if you get the early goal, and that's been the MO for this hockey team, score early, whether it's going to be the fourth line starting tonight or whoever. But if they get the goal in the first 5 minutes of the first period, it's on, and here it comes, and here comes the Blues doing what they do, rolling the four lines. They stay out of the penalty box. They will just continue to beat up on the Bruins' defense, and that's how they're going to win this hockey game.
And you don't always talk about after a loss, you always bring up Bennington's stats, you know, his record, his goals against, and save percentage and whatnot, which is all phenomenal, but I think Berube doesn't get as much credit for how he prepares his, you know, his team outside of the goalie after a loss, and you got to think you're going to see a more disciplined team tonight, you know. Not saying you're not going to be penalty free. You know, we obviously probably be in the box one or two times, but I think you'll see a makeup call. I think you'll see maybe a couple makeup calls like you did at the end of the third period of that blowout game 3. I just think Berube, after a loss, I think Perron realizes, you know, if he looks at tape, how stupid he looked in those, you know, going after Tuukka Rask. That's not really the right guy to go after, and it really didn't motivate the team or get the crowd involved whatsoever. You'll see a more disciplined team, and I think that could be huge, because obviously Bennington will be locked in, as he always is, after a loss. So I think you're going to see a much better game. I think that's pretty much easy to say, but, you know, like I said, getting a couple in on Tuukka Rask is easier said than done, so we'll see how it goes.
Well, a couple things on the Perron thing. You take another penalty in the offensive zone, which has really been his unfortunate side when he's in the hockey game. I mean, it really is. He takes offensive zone penalties. He's done it in the regular season. On the flip side of that, he's had his best postseason run he's ever had in his playoff career. The other side of that is he's trying to get under Tuukka Rask and trying to do what the Bruins try to do and what everybody else has tried to do to Jordan Binnington. You try to get in his face a little bit and create something. It didn't work. Blues got blown out. I don't necessarily know any of what took place is going to phase Tuukka Rask, but if it did, if it got him off his game just a little bit, it's a positive. I'm stretching there. But the reality is Perron has got to play with a little bit of feistiness in his game. he's got to get under players' skin. And I, for people who are older hockey fans, I always thought, not necessarily same skill level, but I always thought David Perron was very similar to a Jeff Courtnall when he played in the National Hockey League, not only for the St. Louis Blues, but for Boston when he was in Boston and when he was in Vancouver. He's a guy that has high skill. He can score goals. He's been a pretty good skater. But the one thing which made him a much better player in the playoffs, I'm speaking of Courtnall, was when he just kind of played to the edge of the whistle, got under your skin, yapped at you, and created problems. We all, if you were old enough to remember, Courtnall was the guy who got the five-minute major penalty against the Los Angeles Kings in a playoff game, and the Blues went on to win the game in the third period and eliminate the Los Angeles Kings out there. That's the kind of thing that is the way Perron needs to play to be super successful, and if he can score a goal to go with it, you go, that's the Perron you want, and that's why Perron's here. He just isn't there right at the moment, and he's got to stay away from those offensive zone penalties. I mean, again, back to the stay out of the penalty box. David Perron cannot continue to get those offensive zone penalties.
Blues are getting two players back for Game 4. That's the good news. Vince Dunn and Carl Gunnarsson, fresh off the one-game suspension. And
Sundqvist.
Oscar Sundqvist, fresh off the one game. This is allergies. I'm blaming allergies
on
that one.
Yes, allergies will do it to you
100%
every time.
Blaming allergies on that. It's like having a cold but having no solution. Sundqvist, rather, fresh off his suspension in Game 2. Gunnarsson had the game-winning goal. But expectations from what you hope to see from those guys, specifically Vince Dunn, who hasn't played in a little bit.
I am excited for Vince Dunn and his offensive skill, his mobility, his ability to get the puck out of the zone. I hope we get the Vince Dunn that's played at the high level that he's played at. There are times. So here's the one thing about Dunn. There are times we got to remember he's still a younger defenseman. There are times when guys get in his face and get on him a little bit, and he gets a little starstruck. You go, oh, here's a guy who's only been around in the league for a little over a year and a half. But if Vince Dunn gets his motor running and start, you see him start to bring the puck up through center ice and get a little space, that's a great thing for the Blues because that means he becomes a force on the offensive end. He'll shoot the puck from the point and probably create chances for the St. Louis Blues. There's no doubt about that. The Sundqvist thing, I think, was a bigger miss than people realize. Part of that is the penalty kill. We talked about how you just can't give up four power plays. I mean, that's unheard of. Every team in the league should be able to stop two to three power plays when you're giving up five, whatever, four, whatever it is. But the reality is Sundqvist is a big part of that penalty kill unit, and I'm sure they missed a little bit of that. He would have been very helpful in the game on Saturday night if he would have been in there. Plus, he brings his tenacity. He brings some speed. He has been one of the tougher Swedish-born players we have seen in the St. Louis Blues ever. I mean, look, for so many years, there have been some Swedish guys that come through the organization. He went, oh, those Swedes, some of them are really soft. Not this guy. Oscar Sundqvist has been given an opportunity, and he's run with it, which has been great.
I got the trade-off to that. He's not a looker, you know.
No, he's not.
He ain't no Patrick Berglund, but I think Sundqvist, not only is he fantastic on the penalty kill, which obviously there's no need to say it, 4-for-4 for the Bruins on their power play. That, you know, obviously you need him desperately. His offensive ability, I think, has shocked probably even upper management. I mean, then this guy has come in and just fits in whatever line they put him at, and I just find it, because they did a couple shots when he was watching the game up in the box. You could see he wasn't really happy, and so I see a very tenacious, a very active Oscar Sundqvist tonight for sure.
You know, the thing about Oscar, when they made the trade with Pittsburgh to pick him up, and I mentioned to somebody, I said, I'll be intrigued to see what kind of player he is because he was playing behind all the stars that are at center in Pittsburgh. So he never really had a chance to get a lot of ice time. I just thought, hey, you know what? There are times when you go to an organization and say, they have a lot of depth at this position. They have a guy who's not getting a lot of time. Let's try him just because he's blocked. He just can't get playing time. Last year, he gets a chance to play a little bit on the fourth line. However, if you look at the guys he was playing with on that fourth line, the Brodziaks, the Thornbirds, those aren't guys with skill. It's hard to play with a group of guys who don't have a lot of skill when you need a little help or you can looking for other guys with skill. He finally has that playing on the fourth line with a Steen who still has skill left at his age, or he's playing with a Barbashev who has a sense of skill. And he finally got a chance to play this year one with that group and also get more ice time. And I think that's one of the things that I think has been neat to see. You have a guy here in Sundquist who was, one, given opportunity, but he was also put in the right spot, and he's thrived with it. And I think he will definitely make a difference tonight. Hopefully he won't get another suspension, but I guarantee you he's going to run a couple guys tonight.
And
as
you
well.
Look down the line, I mean, this is a guy who had the potential to be a top six forward, which is kind of funny because when you made the trade, you know, you kind of talk about it on Sport Talk Radio for about 5 minutes, you know, kind of one of those, you know, roster additions. Let's see, you know, kind of a wild card. Let's see what the guy can do. And now to what he turned into in, you know, a matter of, you know, a year, it's just phenomenal. Like, he literally does have the skill set. You know, he could play on the penalty kill. He probably eventually will be able to play on the power play. He could be a top six forward. And you're really getting so much more out of him than I think what a lot of people thought you were going to get when you made the trade.
And he showed a lot of toughness that you didn't know you had when you got him. So, yeah, Sundquist will definitely help. Vince Dunn helps on that back line. The other side, Brian, I want to see what Sanford does in getting a second opportunity. He played well enough to earn the right to play again. And one of the things with Zach Sanford, he is a big kid. He skates pretty good for his size. He has some skill for his size, but he hasn't figured out how he needs to play on an every night basis to play in the league. And he found out in the playoffs in that opening round against the Winnipeg Jets, when you're playing on the wing and the puck is in your zone and you're in that 10-foot range where you got to get the puck out of the zone, you have to be really strong and you got to be a man to get the puck out of the zone. He wasn't that guy in the Winnipeg series. It was a very physical series. I think that was an eye-opening experience for him. The Blues had to make a change. They did. They gave others an opportunity. Robbie Fabry was given an opportunity first. Sammy Blay has been given that chance since, and he's run with it, and he's figured out you got to play strong. You got to play physical. Sanford got a chance to play in the Stanley Cup final. He played well enough to earn another shot. Can he continue to build off of that? Use some confidence, because when you're a young guy and you're getting sat every other night, you're not sure. I mean, you just think about where you're at mentally. You're going, well, I think I'm pretty good. I can play here, but I keep getting sat down, and I don't, you know, you don't have the confidence. You're afraid to make mistakes. Well, hopefully he played well enough. He's not going to be afraid to make mistakes. He's going to actually be aggressive. And he's going to be an asset to this hockey team in this game tonight.
And there wasn't a lot of positive plays from that beatdown in game three.
No, that's part of it.
So it's kind of weird to bring up a positive note from the game. However, even the NBC Sports broadcast brought it up. That play he made against Chara, to where he basically just shook him out of his skin and wasn't afraid, you know, go up against, you know, arguably one of the most physically gifted, most terrifying hockey players we've seen in the last 10 or 15 years. I mean, he wasn't afraid to go up against Chara, go to the back of the net, and, you know, have a nice assist. So, like I said, it's hard to point out a lot of positive, but he had definitely earned that right to play tonight. And, you know, you'll see some fire, similar to what you saw with when you put Gunnarsson in there. You know, you just have a guy that hasn't played that much in the playoff, but you give him the opportunity, he'll shine. So I'm excited to see how he plays.
The one thing with the Sanford, and you bring up that great point against Chara, is just a mountain of a guy.
He's scary, and if I'm playing my first game, I would be terrified.
There are guys, he doesn't even have to hit you because he's so large and he has such a long stick range. It's hard to get around him, and it's hard to get a puck away from him and get away from him. But Sanford's a bigger kid, and he's got the right body type to be able to do that. And it was good to see him get that. And you know, everybody's going, hey, kid, way to go. That's what you got to do. That's how you got to play. And he's also going, I did it against their best guy.
Yep.
He builds the confidence, and hopefully he'll be a better for it tonight.
Sanford is in today. Per Luke Korak was in the Sanford O'Reilly Perron line during practice today.
Surrounded by talent. Yes.
Wow, that's an interesting line. That's the way they're going to go with that. I'm guessing that means Blay goes down to the four.
Blay's down in the third line with Maroon and Bozak.
Maroon and Bozak.
Okay. Oh, I love that line.
All right. That's Berube changing things up a little bit. But also goes to the point, Sanford earned the coach's trust, and you get to move up. You get to play with the big boys. He does have a skill set. We haven't seen it blossom yet, but he does have a little bit of a scoring touch. He's just not a guy that's going to go up and down the wing and just hit you and have no skill. There is a little bit of skill there. So So that'll be interesting to see if he continues to improve and show that confidence and make plays tonight. Because you know Ryan O'Reilly can set you up at any time. And playing with Perron and O'Reilly, he can maybe get in there, get the puck to those guys, and they can create something. I like that opportunity.
This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. Frank Cusimano at the Enterprise Center gathering sound. Before we go to break, we'll switch gears a little bit, take a break, and hopefully have Frank and Chris Kerber on the other side, previewing Game 4. Jim, I'm not sure how much of it you're able to watch because the Blues certainly carrying the torch of St. Louis sports for the time being, but the Cardinals have now won 4 straight games, coming off a sweep against the Chicago Cubs, which...
Didn't see that coming.
No, didn't see it coming, and they didn't play especially well, which was strange, only scoring 11 runs in the 3 games. Friday night did not hit well at all, able to scrape together a win, but all things considered, sweeps are good.
Absolutely. One, congratulations. You're right. Colton Wong plays every day.
Yes, he does.
Period.
Thank you.
He was very good yesterday.
He is my second baseman.
The play he made yesterday was just dynamite. And I also pointed out, or will point out, we actually saw the shift pay off with Rizzo up yesterday, because by playing the shift, he was in the right place and enabled him to make which was a fantastic catch. So the shift paid dividends yesterday for the first time in a while, because most of the time, I'll be honest, there are times like, well, does it really matter? Does it really matter? But, hey, kudos to him for just an outstanding game and coming up big. Plus, he was stealing bases. He was getting on base. Colton Wong, that's what I took out of that more than anything, needs to play every day.
Cardinals have won 4 straight. They're off tonight. The Blues have game 4 tonight. They are not off. Blues and Bruins. We sent things down to the Enterprise Center, where Frank Cusimano and Chris Kerber are standing by.
All right, Brian, thanks very much. If somebody came into my life, a genie, and said, okay, you could talk to one person right now at 11:21. After Jesus Christ, it would be Chris Kerber, and he joins us now. Yes.
Really?
Can you hear Chris? Brian, can you hear Chris? Tell me.
I don't know
if Dave turned. All right, wait a minute. Chris is actually going to do some engineering work and turn this up a little bit here. We're broadcasting live from the Enterprise Center. We got a lot to talk about, including
there we go. How's that?
That's perfect. Look at this guy. He's a broadcaster and he has some.
Used to have to lug my own equipment in the minors.
Where was your first stop?
Birmingham, Alabama.
And you made how much that year?
I was paid $18,500 that year. Phil Roberto was our head coach.
Oh,
he's
going
to be in the building here. He's going to be in the building. I can't wait to see him tonight.
I love the former Blues, the obscure ones. We don't like. Was it Tim Ecclestone?
Tim Ecclestone,
who was with
Bobby
Plager.
Came up from Atlanta. Yep.
Yeah, and then Young, Scott Young was in the building.
Scotty Forever Young was there. Joined us on the broadcast as well. He's now player development for the Pittsburgh Penguins. Left the college ranks, so...
Has there been a Jeff Courtnall sighting yet? We hear that he was interested in coming in for a game.
I have not seen him yet, no.
Okay. All right, we have a lot to discuss. First of all, Vince Dunn is in, and this is a guy who's not been able to eat regular food for a while. He said he's starting to eat a little bit, but mainly shakes for a while. But, boy, the way Coach Berube was talking about him, I felt I was hearing about Bobby Orr. I mean, he was really gushing about him.
This is a big get for the Blues to get him back in the lineup. One, obviously, Vince Dunn has been on the top power play unit for a while, so they've missed his puck-moving ability there. And then they've also, I think, especially in this series, his skating ability and sense of really when to jump in the puck and into the play. And as Craig Berube said, he has the ability to make something out of nothing at times, and that's a dynamic that could be real huge for the Blues to turn and flip this series around.
A little skill into the equation, as we just discussed. The Blues are not going to out-hit the Bruins to win the series. They have to have that skill element.
Yeah, they really do. Now, in Game 2, they out-hit them, I think, 50-30. But what you're not going to do is out-intimidate them.
Okay.
You know, And when I said earlier that, you know, I don't think you're going to out-hit the Bruins to a win, what I meant by that is you're not going to hit them to the point that they almost end up non-existent. That's not going to be the case. They've just got too much experience. You're not going to out-intimidate them. So you've got to do something different. And I'll use David Perron as an example here. All right. You can wrestle with guys all you want. You know, a guy gets a hold of your arm, you fall on top of him, and then you end up in that, you know, twister roll, you know, that we see David do from time to time. that's not going to change anything with the Boston Bruins. It's not going to take them out of their game. What is a score and a goal? And that's, I think, where the Blues have to get back to. They've just got to get back to playing between the whistles, not worrying about the other stuff. Get in the offensive zone, get your game going, and make the Boston Bruins defend. You've got to make the Boston Bruins defend in their own zone. It is much more tiring to play defense than it is offense. They have got to get them working back in their defensive zone.
What about the move to not only keep Zach Sanford in the lineup, but to move him to the second line with O'Reilly and Perron? What do you think?
Well, I like that move. You know, Sammy Blais, I think, has played well on that second line since he was put up there. But they need somebody that can make more plays with the puck. And that part of Sammy's game, I think, is still to come. So the physicality that Sammy can bring with his speed on that third line, I think, will make help them out there. Robbie Fabry is the guy that's the odd man out now in this case. But by putting Sanford on there, if he can get in and hold on to the puck more, Craig Berube thought that the team got in on the forecheck 5-on-5 just fine in the last game. What they didn't do was hold on to the puck and let that support then come in and start to work the Boston Bruins down low. Zach Sanford did that playing on that line with Barbashev and Alexander Steen. He needs to do that. And if he can do that on that line with Ryan O'Reilly and David Perron, well, you've got a puck possession line that can accomplish what we were just talking about, that, and that's making the Boston Bruins defend.
All right, so what would you do when the Bruins trot out their top line? Would you go to O'Reilly, Perron, and Sanford, or would you go our top line against their top line?
I'm still going our top line against their top line.
Why?
Because 5-on-5, the Blues have been the better line in that matchup. Penalty killing is a totally different story, and where that top line has gotten their points has been on the power play. So for me, if it's 5-on-5, until they show that they can stop Shen and Tarasenko, I'm putting that top line on against our top line.
Chris Kerber with us, Hollywood Casino Press Box, and the all-new 590 The Fan, broadcasting live from the Enterprise Center, site of Game 4. The Bruins are on the ice as we speak. Jordan Binnington, the glitzy numbers after a loss, 12-2 overall, 6-0 in the regular season, 6-2 in the postseason. What about his psyche tonight?
I don't think there's any reason to worry about his psyche tonight. You know, you talk to enough guys over the years, Frank, and in any of these situations, it's almost like it's more nerve-wracking for the rest of us. The guys on the ice are the ones that can control it. They're going through a normal routine, and they're going to go play a hockey game and see where it goes. And you heard Craig Berube today talk about the calmness, and he felt that he felt the calmness in the room today that he felt in the room going into Game 2 in Boston. Jordan Binnington has not given you any reason here in the NHL to question his calmness going from one game to the next and a loss. And until you see something different, there's no reason to think it.
What about the other side? And Tuukka Rask, I believe, is on the ice as we speak. That .936 save percentage in his career on the road, best among goaltenders since they started to really track the stat.
Yeah, they've got a heck of a goaltender there. And, of course, when the Bruins won the Stanley Cup, he was Tim Thomas's backup. You know, you're talking about a guy, I believe, I have to look it up in my notes, but I think this is, what, his 75th career playoff game?
Wow.
You know, for the Boston Bruins as he continues to move up that franchise list. He's been really good. And the Blues have got to get deflected pucks on him. They've got to get more traffic in front of the net, and they've got to get him looking over his shoulder. And by that, I mean, again, if the Blues are playing their game, Frank, they're playing below that goal line where the goaltender is kind of looking back this way to track the puck in the corner. He's turning back on this side, and then they're getting those feeds in front. When they've had a couple of good successful goals, like the Sanford goal to Barbashev in the last game, he's below the goal line. He drew the defender in. He backhands the puck, and then it's one time by Barbashev past Tuukka Rask. That's how they're going to have to play if they're going to beat them. This is a doggone good Boston Bruins team. They're just as deep as the Blues, and they've got more experience, and they've got a guy in net that knows how to get it done.
Back to Binnington. A little discussion after the game about being vulnerable five-hole. Do you think that's overblown?
I do. I think it's overblown. I think what the Boston Bruins have done a better job than any team we've seen really on him, and that is they've gotten him to move laterally. And by getting him to move laterally, you're going to open up that five hole. Just think about it logically as a sports guy, right? So
yeah.
I think the Bruins have done a good job on that. And, look, normally you play a team once, the Bruins, okay, maybe we got to move them laterally, and it doesn't happen the one time you played them, you know. But when you play a guy in a series and then the coaches are doing nothing but studying that player and that other team, you start to find some tendencies, and as the series goes on, you hope you can chip away at something. That's where the Blues are going to have to do a much better job defending in front of the net and making sure that they've got stick on stick, they've got their the other player locked up so those deflections don't come in. And if they do that, I think Jordan will be just fine.
The Bollmeister-Parayko pairing, do you try to make sure they're out there against that number one line?
I try to make sure they're out there against as many different guys as I can get them out there
really?
Against.
You're that I just, confident
yes,
in that duo?
That duo is your shutdown duo. And so they I think they will be out there against those lines. But what you really realize now in the National Hockey League, it's because of the way teams can go. You remember, I mean, it used to be when you had a fourth line that was only playing 3, 4, 5 minutes a game, some of those defensive to forwards matchups were a whole heck of a lot easier.
Yeah.
You know, nowadays, when you're seeing fourth lines playing 13, 14 minutes a game, you've got to defend against them as much as you do a second and third line on a regular basis. So you've got to have two pairings that'll do it. And I think those pairings right now are probably going to come down to Dunn and Gunnarsson and Bollmeister and Parayko.
What did you think of the candid comments by Coach Berube yesterday? I think he went about as far as he could without facing some type of fine from the NHL and his thoughts on the officiating. I didn't mind it, and maybe he puts the thought in these officials' head.
Well, I think fans probably are tired of hearing me on this topic, but I don't think it's very good. It's inconsistent from this standpoint. Now, they've been consistent in this series, but there's no doubt that it has been a tighter called series than what we saw in the first three. The Blues have not done a good job of adjusting to that. You're going to have Chris Rooney tonight. They put him on the ice, a South Boston guy officiating game number two in Boston. That never should have happened in my book.
He did game two, Chris Rooney.
He did game two. Gord Dwyer and Chris Rooney have today's game. I think it's a factor, but look, here's the thing. Here's what Craig Berube was trying to say. I don't think they agreed with some of the calls. I think some of them have been light to ticky-tack. And then they've missed some egregious ones on the other side. You whistle Shen for the slashing game two, but you don't whistle Char for the slashing game one. You've got a linesman. We played 7 minutes in the last game with a stick that was in the road down in the one end of the ice. And in game two, you've got a linesman in the picture picking up a stick in the middle of the ice. And in doing so, he misses a too many men on the ice call for the Boston
That's
Bruins.
Right, yeah.
That was right before the Bruins scored a goal. It is what it is. But here's the deal. Knowing that, okay, and knowing that you've got guys that are going to call some of the ticky-tack stuff, you can't put yourself in a position to get called. And so it's back on the onus of the Blues. If you're David Perron, you've got to outskate Brandon Carlo. It's a 2-1, it's a 3-on-1. You're getting back. You've got to outskate him there. And I know Craig said at the end, sometimes you see that called, sometimes you don't. David didn't like the call. Well, the bottom line is instead of you outskating Brandon Carlo, which you've got the ability to do, you then tied him up, you got your stick in on his hip, you slowed him down, and then Carlo took the dive, but the officials aren't good enough to call that. And you end up in the penalty box. And that's when the game turned and the momentum went to Boston. So, look, that part is what it is, but the Blues have not skated well enough in those games to where they're going to, you know, to where they're taking themselves out of position and not get that called. So I put it on the Blues. I don't put it on the Stripes. I think the guys in the Stripes have to be better, but to expect that, you're expecting something that, frankly, I don't think is going to happen. It's been a rotten postseason for them along those kind of lines. But in this series, separated from it all, that's commentary more on the entire playoffs. In this series, okay, they've been pretty consistent in what they're doing, Frank. They're taking guys after whistles. They're not putting up with the scrums and stuff afterwards. And so if you're the Blues, recognize that and stay out of the box.
I know there were a lot of fans, in fact, if you read social media, who were really brutal on David Perron. Craig Berube almost like dusted off the question yesterday about possibly, you know, benching Perron tonight. Like, are you serious? There's no chance in the world. Bottom line is he has been brutal in this series so far.
He hasn't been as good as he needs to be offensively. And then he's gotten tied up in some of that physicality that is not going to make a difference in this series. You're not going to intimidate the Boston Bruins. You're not going to – I mean, what it did, you got tied up with Torrey Krug. That had him going, and he came up, and he almost took Thomas's head off on that hit. again, I didn't like the play. I honestly, I did not like the play in the neutral zone on Carlo when that interference penalty was taken up. You came out, you had all the momentum, you had a terrific start, you earned a power play. The bad power play, even though you had four shots on goal, didn't succeed for you. You know, so then you take the penalty and you gave them the strength. And what you did was you allowed them to get their top line that had been non-existent into the series. All right, and then on another play, you're tied up with their defenseman again on this end. Now, at one point, I think I could see from our angle, David's arm was getting held, but then David ends up on top, and it's that wrestling match. And, of course, now you're late getting out of the zone, and it's slowed an entry coming in. The Blues had a power. Sammy Blay took a stick to the head, earned a power play. It was negated then because David comes through the crease, and after the whistle kind of bumps into the goaltender a couple times. And Kelly Sutherland wasn't going to call him the first time. It was when he kind of continued along those lines that he got called. So he needs to be more disciplined in that set. He needs to just stop when the whistle blows. And they need him offensively. They need him with Ryan O'Reilly on that line. They need David offensively more than they need that other stuff from him.
So you still think, though, with Riley and the Selke Award credentials, you'd still rather see the Blues' top line against their top line?
100%. Okay. Yeah. Actually, the line I'm talking about is Shen, Tarasenko,
yes.
And Schwartz. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Let me switch topics just a moment. And I talked about this on the television side last night. I'd love to get your impressions. The legs that this run is going to have on hockey in St. Louis, factoring in the naming rights of the Centene, you know.
Community Ice Center. Yeah.
Community Ice Center. The five first-round draft choices 3 years ago, the All-Star game coming up.
The Winter Classic.
Oh, my goodness. If you're like a 5 to 10-year-old kid, you see all this stuff, you will want to put skates on. You will want to join a team. I mean, this is going to have legs for decades, this 5 or 6 year run we've had.
Well, and imagine if you can win a cup in the middle of all that.
Yeah.
It's absolutely huge. Look, the coverage has been excellent. What the team has done has been excellent. You're capturing the city. You're capturing, you know, the imagination. We look down on the ice right now, and there's five guys in coats that just look uncomfortable in suits, and those are players that are projected to go top five.
Jack Hughes is down there?
Jack Hughes in the National Hockey League draft here in just a couple of weeks, and that's part of the promotions that the league does. It is big, Frank, and they've got players. You know, you've got Ryan O'Reilly under contract, so when somebody says, hey, I want a Ryan O'Reilly jersey, it's there. The Learn to Skate programs, and I want to go back a couple years ago, and Chris Zimmerman said, hey, you know, I think it was by 2020 or 2022, somewhere in there, we want to have 25,000 more kids playing hockey. And that's when the vision of this ice center, you know,
said?
Yeah,
really?
That's part of a new initiative that the team had. And we had a big press conference here about it in the club right behind us here at Enterprise Center. And they're doing it. They're going to get the Four Chic Centene Community Ice Center coming online in September. A new ice rink in Chesterfield. There's more need for more ice, and people are playing it. It's a sport that we continue to have to work through the economics of the sport because it could be a costly one to get involved in. But the Blues are doing that with their Blues for Kids program and putting free learn-to-play programs out there where the equipment is provided for free.
Really? Wow.
I think they just had one in Kirkwood that was sold out and they had to turn people away. If you could imagine, they're doing what they can to get all the kids involved. But it's the culture of this sport, too, that is what makes it so great. It teaches the teamwork. It teaches camaraderie. It teaches it's such a terrific sport culturally, too, that I think the values that young kids, boys and girls, like the St. Louis Cyclones, an all-girls, you know, a hockey club of all girls of all ages is just doing a spectacular job. You know, the girls can play, and we want them playing as well, and they should be playing out there. And it's so positive on so many fronts that the work that Tom Stillman, right from the start, said this is about the role in the community. Chris Zimmerman came in. They said to the city, they said to the state, the building you own needs upgrades. If you can do this, the team put in a huge $75 million commitment on their own. This is what will happen. Well, you got the Winter Classic. You got the All-Star Game. You've got the Stanley Cup Final. You've got the gymnastics championships coming. I mean, all these great things coming. You're sitting in this building that's still going to get more renovations done, Frank. there's so much positive vibes, and it's been a great run to this point, and hopefully we've got three more wins in them before it's all done.
Is that accurate? By next September, these will all be new seats?
Yes. All the lower level seats. So the club, you know, where, you know, in the Jameson Irish Whiskey Club and over in the American Eagle Credit Union Club, okay, that and all the upper level seats were redone this past summer. All the lower level ones now, where you see the shades of purple, that'll all be taken care of this summer.
Is it going to be blue, or how are they going to work that?
You know what? I don't know what color seats that they're putting in.
What about All-Star Game festivities? Is there a chance we could see maybe Chris Pronger's jersey risen to the rafters? Could there be another statue?
I would think that the only number not up there right now that should be up there, since we were finally able to get Bobby Plager taken care of a couple years ago, is that number 44. So at some point in time, and I don't know where talks are along those kind of lines or what their plans are, but I do think at some point in time number 44 goes up there, and then I think you wait for the next great one to come along. But that's a possibility. At some point, like the All-Star festivities, this gives fans an idea of all the different changes they've done into the building here to make it fit for all the different broadcast groups coming in. It's basically like we've just done all the pre-planning for the All-Star game. But there's going to be activation all around the city when it comes to celebrating the game of hockey with the All-Star game, from exhibits to things to do to parties getting held to the number of stars coming into town for it. It's going to be a heck of a special event next January.
In fact, speaking of that, number of stars, so Saturday night it was perfect because it was the first game ever. It was a Saturday night. You had Patrick Mahomes, Jenna Fischer, Chris Long, Isaac Bruce, Richard Petty, John Hamm.
Jackie Joyner-Kersee, I think, was here.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Howie Long with Chris. I wonder, do we know anything about tonight? And, Layla stole the show, of course.
She was great, wasn't she?
Yeah. Mike Caruso.
So Mike handles that. I don't know. I haven't seen the list of celebrities that's there. I'm sure he's probably just adding the numbers to his Rolodex.
Yeah.
And you know, that'll be some fun. But you know, it is great, and to see all the different folks coming in. And this is, I mean, this is what it does. Look, I mean, the hotels, the restaurants, you know, the people going all over town. You know, the crowds at Obie Clark's and different bars around town. You know, at Hot Shots and all the different places. It's just outstanding. And
I mean, there are 25,000 people outside on Saturday afternoon before the weather got bad.
Before the weather got bad, and there's going to be that many, if not more, hopefully tonight as this thing goes. And imagine if the Blues can get this to a game six, you know, what that could end up being like. Because at that point in time, if the Blues get the victory tonight, you know, whether it is St. Louis or Boston, the cup is going to be in the building on that game six. You know, and so there's just so much there. But the economic impact of this, with everybody coming in, and I mean, you've seen just all the media, every one of these people here, you know, they're eating three meals a day. They're eating, you know, in restaurants. They're in hotel rooms. The fans that have come in, and hey, I want to say this too, and this is not a surprise. We may have an outlier or two, but the way this city treats fans from out of town is just something spectacular. You know, some of the vitriol and nastiness that some of our fans experienced when they were in Boston.
Absolutely.
And that includes my wife.
The way
some of the fans were getting in the faces of them, and some of the nastiness there. It's classic. It's not a surprise, you know, for up there. But here, no, they don't. Here you see some Bruins fans walking around. They talk about just how great it is to come into this city. And the Blues haven't done what other cities have done. They haven't done what Nashville has done. They haven't done what other cities have done by saying, no, we're not going to sell tickets to fans from out of town. And they welcome them in, and it's such a great place to come and visit. So hopefully more people do it. But I applaud the fans and their class and how they handle things.
Were you able to hear it? You probably had the headset on. But the second best moment of Game 2 after the Gunnarsson goal was the 125 or so Blues fans in TD Gardens chanting, "Let's go Blues." That was surreal.
Yeah, no, it was. It absolutely was. And after some of the stories I heard, I was thrilled to see it even more. You know, so hopefully the Blues can come back, take care of this tonight, make it a best of three. Frankie, you make it a best of three if you can get this game tonight. And if you can reset the series, so I realize we're talking a couple of ifs here, but if that happens, once a series goes to a best of three, now you're increasing where the luck factor can play a bigger role in a series, a puck off a butt, a puck off a skate, you know, a wacky hop off a partition that creates a two-on-one and a goal, and those become harder and harder to recover from as the series goes along. So got to take care of business here in game four.
Yeah, and you don't want to say must game, but the statistics indicate it is a must game.
Statistics indicate that it's as close to a must game without being one.
Yep. Good stuff. I know you're busy. We appreciate your time. Chris, thank you so much.
All right, anytime, Frank. Thank you.
That is the voice of the Blues, Chris Kerber. Before we take a break, I want to tell you about our good friends at McBride. Why buy an old home with all the to-dos when you can buy new? This June, McBride Homes is having a dream kitchen and bathroom sales event. Buy a new McBride home and receive two and up to $10,000 to spend towards a luxury kitchen or bath. McBride Homes has over 40 communities throughout the metro St. Louis area and over 100 inventory homes ready for a quick move-in. Homes to fit every lifestyle and design with you in mind. McBride's dream kitchen and bath sales event is for June only. Visit McBrideHomes.com for details. Brian, what's the game plan from here?
Frank, if you have to duck out, Hewer, Plowsy, and I can take over. Here's actually, I'm glad you asked that, though, because we have new things. Martin will be at Persimmon Woods from 12 until 1.
About Marquette basketball, the
Marquette,
fact of that program,
yes.
Losing another player to Virginia over the weekend. Did you notice that one?
Yes, I did. The Marquette University will be, look, some players strive to lose the 16 seeds, I guess is what's going to happen.
Is Coach Woj going to be out there?
That's a great question. I do not know.
I think first question, Coach, why are you losing this player to Virginia? Don't you think that would be a good way
to
lead off the interview?
I wouldn't mind that. It won't happen, but I wouldn't mind that. But Martin's at Persimmon Woods, 12 to 1. The Cam Jansen Show, because Cam has his own duties to do tonight leading up to Game 4. The Cam Jansen Show with him and Hannah Yates will be from 1 until 2. It will be replayed again from 6 until 7 leading up to puck drop tonight. Then the Hardline from 1 until 2 with Bob Ramsey and John Hadley. That is the game plan moving forward.
I'm glad you brought up the great Cam Jansen. He'll be with us tonight at 6:30 on TV.
You're the reason why it's preempted then. We blame you.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. But anyway, right after the pregame show on Saturday, I go to shake Cam's hand.
Sweaty.
And I've never shook a hand that was more wet,
yep,
with perspiration,
yep,
in my lifetime. Now, Cam once said, I'm sweating more now than Jordan Binnington does the entire game, and I actually believe him. And he's actually terrific on the air, so we're thrilled we have him on both radio and television.
I'm sure he'll have a lot of things to say following what transpired on Saturday night. How was the mood in the locker room, Frank?
Oh, well, we just did a one-on-one with Ryan O'Reilly, and he was, I think he was guarded in his comments, but I think that, you know, he's saying the same things that we're saying right now. Stay out of the penalty box, play our game, control things up the middle. I thought the most interesting thing of the whole day was the fact that Coach Berube, the way he described Vince Dunn. I mean, you thought he was talking about Brad Park or Ray Bourque or Bobby Orr. And, you know, and I'm not trying to be sarcastic because this guy's a really good player. I mean, he really is. He's, you know, he said that, you know, getting the puck out of their own zone, he's the best we have. So he's excited. And, boy, you talk about two guys who are really thrilled to be in the lineup. Zach Sanford, whose mom grew up a Boston Bruin fan, and he grew up a Boston Bruin fan. He is thrilled to be in this lineup, and so is Vince Dunn. Imagine Vince Dunn. You work your whole life for this moment, then you're hurt, and you don't get to play, but you get a second chance to play. So he is thrilled. All right, Brian, I will let you wrap it up from here, and we will talk tomorrow. Thank you, sir.
All right, sounds good. Frank Cusimano live at the Enterprise Center. Joined earlier today by Gene Principe, Sportsnet and Canada, and you just heard him. A good all-inclusive 20-minute interview with Chris Kerber as he gets ready to call, as we mentioned before, the biggest game in Blues history. I do want to mention Lakeside Roofing. Lakeside Roofing has a reputation of reliability, trust, high-quality work, and competitive prices. Lakeside Roofing features the finest quality roofing materials, and they provide expert installation. Find them online at lakesideroofing.com. Persimmon.com. We'll take a short timeout where we'll wrap things up on the other side, then send things over to Martin Kilcoyne at Persimmon Woods. And this is the Hollywood Casino Press Box on 590 The Fan, excuse me, and 590TheFan.com.